Welcome to Semper Gumby in Alaska, a podcast of the Diocese of Juneau. Broadcasting today from St. Catherine of Siena Parish in Petersburg and St. Rose of Lima in Wrangell, Alaska. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, the 18th of December, 2011. We hear Mary say yes to being the Mother of God. The Lord be with you.
And also with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what she said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with the man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's readings on this fourth Sunday of Advent talk again about how the conception of Jesus is to come about. We've been coming to Mass during December. We've heard this three times. We heard it at the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. We've heard it at the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And today we hear it again on the fourth Sunday of Advent. We'll hear it again in March, right, on the 25th, when, if Jesus is born on the 25th of December, most likely that's, right, the timing would be to celebrate the Incarnation with the Feast of the Annunciation on the 25th of March. Why do we hear this reading so much? Well, there just isn't a whole lot else said about Mary. Amen? We get lots of the same reading because maybe everything that Mary needs to say to us is found herein. She's troubled and afraid at the nature of the angel's greeting. As a little kid, that always gave me pause. Like, other times angels came to her, it was less troubling? I don't know. But today I see what she's talking about. Right, the angel says some amazing things. First, we know from the gospel that this angel was sent from God. Gabriel's on a mission, sent to ask a young virgin, betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, a question. Is she willing? Is she ready to give up everything that she had intended to do with her life? Right, the language we use. This is my life. I've got my plans. And is she willing to give up all of that to be part of God's plan? There's some beautiful poetry written throughout the centuries about heaven and earth waiting, like on the edge of their seat. Would she say yes or not? I've always wondered, is this the thousandth young woman that God asked? There was a long time between Adam and Eve and Mary and Jesus. Or was this the first? We won't know. Right? Often, we never know what would have been. I have some friends that live there. I'm like, where are you? Right? They live in the what would have beens. What if I had made this choice or that? What if I had gone to this college or that? What if I had married this one or that? And they fail to even recognize that they have a whole life right now, right here, that they should be involved in, instead of imagining this different one. We hear nothing in the Gospels about Mary going, oh, I should have said something else. What have I gotten myself into? Right, often I've said that. I say a little yes to God, and it's like a tidal wave of, thanks, Lord, I'm not sure I'm ready. How did Mary have the courage to say yes? How did Mary have the reckless self-abandonment? Right? What does she proclaim herself to be? A handmaid. That's a nice word for slave. All right? Let's not beat around the bush. Mary thought of herself as God's slave, God's steward, God's house girl. She was ready to do whatever God asked because she saw herself as made entirely out of God's love. Right? Instead of the culture that convinces me that I'm self-made. I haven't made anything ever, right? I can't create water. I can't have my double helix wrap and unwrap itself to make proteins. All of that happens according to God's plan. And yet I convince myself, I separate myself from this God who desires all of me. Can we imagine a world without the Blessed Virgin Mary and Jesus? I can't. They're such a big part of my life that I'm so glad she had the courage to say yes. Was this foretold? Absolutely. Not just in 2 Samuel, as we hear today, right? That there would be one of your line, David, sitting on your throne forever. This is Jesus. But all of Isaiah that we've been hearing throughout Advent, Jesus, the Messiah, has come to save us. And he came because Mary could say yes. She says, yes, let it be done to me according to your word. I think even when I say yes, I'm like, well, up to this point, Lord. You're like, I'm really interested, and this is kind of an interesting project, and I'm willing to go, well, this far. Mary makes no conditions. Right? She has no idea how she's going to tell Joseph. Her saying yes means that when she left the angel's presence, or the angel left her, she could be stoned to death. Unwed with child. It's a pretty gutsy move. She may have even witnessed that in her own town. And we see, right, she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth because of this amazing feat, right? Elizabeth, 65 or older, well beyond childbearing years and is with child. In fact, in her sixth month, which means odds are pretty good John's going to be born. Mary goes, having received Christ into her, like we receive at the Eucharist, goes to care for another. This was Mary's first communion, if you will. And she goes to care for another. And to wait 3 months to see how her body's doing with all of these changes. And to maybe role play with Elizabeth. How do I tell Joseph? Joseph's reaction is not good, right? If we read the story a little further, he's willing to divorce her quietly and then kind of get out of town. Gabriel, sent from God again, tells Joseph, it's okay. This is all part of God's plan. Do you too want to be part of God's plan? Joseph wakes and takes Mary into his home. I'm like, Gabriel, come tell me something, right? Tell me that I'm on the right track. Tell me, Gabriel, when I'm fleeing and headed in the wrong direction, put a roadblock there and say, Thomas, you're missing it. Do you want to be part of God's plan? My answer is yes, but it's not a yes with the whole fiber of my being because I allow my selfishness, my self-centeredness, my distraction with the things of this world to prevent me. Nothing like distraction during Advent, right? Where can we go from here? King David, sitting on his comfortable throne in his palace in the new capital city of the 12 tribes of Israel, Jerusalem, wants to build a temple. God's been traveling with them since the time of Moses in the tent of the meeting, where they could go and meet with God. Not to say that God's presence isn't everywhere all at once, right? There's no place God is not, but there are special concentrated places of connection with God. We have them in our churches. We have them in areas of natural wonder. We have them in the face of one another. These natural places of connection with God. I'd suggest that what God's response to David through the prophet Nathan was that I don't need a building. I need a people. And I will make of you my people. And I will raise up from my people one who I call my son, and he will be my temple. What are when we gather? Right? What are we? The body of Christ. Gathered in assembly. We are the new temple in Jerusalem. Not built by human hands, right? None of us could have made ourselves. Barely we can keep ourselves patched back together, even with the best of science. God made us. That's the temple not made by human hands. He first inhabits this temple, right at the Annunciation, when Mary says, yes, let it be done to me, according to your word. However, wherever, to whatever lengths she could not imagine. What is her response, right, when she takes the infant Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to present him? And Simeon and Anna speak so beautifully and eloquently about who this one will be. She ponders these things in her heart. Let's spend some time this week pondering the incarnation, wondering what kind of place I've made in my heart for the coming of Jesus. We have a week right, to prepare that manger scene? Is there a comfortable bed of hay in my heart? Our Lord Jesus loves being our food, right? From the very beginning, he was born in Bethlehem, right? House of bread, the city of David. He was laid in a manger, and the donkeys came and said, "Hey, get off my straw." Right? They were like, Jesus was our food from the very beginning. And so we come forward to celebrate the Eucharist, to feast on the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to, like Mary, welcome Jesus into our lives. Let us welcome him deeper and deeper and deeper until I can truly say, Lord, let it be done. Let it be done to me according to your word.
Thank you for listening to Semper Gumby in Alaska. This is Father Thomas Weiss, a priest of the Diocese of Juneau. If you'd like to send me any feedback, you can reach me through my email at frthomasweiss@gmail.com. Again, that's frthomasweiss@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and if there's any way I can make these podcasts more helpful, please let me know. May God bless you and have a great day.